oftentimes the people that have the least actually are the most generous. So what makes humans so immensely amazing is our capacity to adapt to almost any situation. Yeah, you got to make love to yourself, man. If you're not making love to yourself, you're not going to make love to anybody else. Make your experience with people about the other people.
Yeah.
Like if you make your experience with other people about the other people, yeah, inherently it does come back to you.
Yeah.
I think just live boldly. You know, like be daring enough to be vulnerable and share your heart and say the things that you're thinking or feeling. And, you know, so like, fuck next year. Like, do it now or shut up.
I love that. Hi, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for deciding to listen to this episode. Thank you for making a conscious decision to be open to learn and improve in order to lead a better life. And even though I have a big mission to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams, right now, you are the most important person to me. I love meeting incredible human beings and sharing their amazing life journeys. My job is to listen, ask the right questions, and challenge the status quo. This week's guest is all about movement. His philosophy is simple. How you move through a room is how you move through life. Every moment is an opportunity to cultivate your mind, body, and movement. His name is Aaron Alexander, and he's a movement coach working with some of the world's best athletes, celebrities, and everyone in between to relieve pain, increase strength, and optimize their movement. In addition, he's an author and podcast brother of Align Podcast, which features the world's thought leaders on all things movement and wellness. Welcome, Aaron Alexander.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks awesome,
man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I was just listening to your podcast. I think it was this morning or yesterday. And you did these cool sounds. Can we get a little bit of this to get in the mood?
I don't know.
It's like mbap.
Yeah, I don't know why I do that.
It's so cool. How do you do it? Like mbap.
It's a nervous habit. I'm not sure. It only comes out of anxiety.
It's cool. Sure. Can we get some of those to get started?
I don't think I have any sad. They're all spur of the moment. It's like
it
before
is?
I'm like tuning my voice up before I'm recording the intro. So I'll do like a little like, I don't even know why. I mean, you do one.
I'll get inspired by you. The first thing I got inspired, your intro was so cool. Like you had Bruce Lee and then you had Rocky, two of my heroes. And then you're like, bop. I was like, this guy is fucking cool.
Handsome.
Yeah. So yeah, Aaron, you're a beast. I was just watching your Instagram before I came here, and I encourage everybody to go to your Instagram. It's Align Podcast, right?
Everything's Align Podcast, yeah.
Yeah, and you do some very cool movements, and you're obviously a very strong dude, but also a guy that can actually tap into the movement of your body and know your balance. And I want to talk more about that. But first of all, I want you to go back to a moment that is pretty dark in your life. And I want to talk about the worst day in your life, if you can remember one of those days and how it changed you as a human being.
The worst day of my life.
Yeah, if we want to get open.
I don't think I have any worst day of my life. You know, like I think a perspective that I've gathered that I find to be the only way that seems to be sensible for me to not, you know, feel insane is that any challenging experience in my life has been like a test, or has been, you know, a school of some sort. You can say like all of life is like a school.
Yeah.
But I don't think I have any one instant in my life that was like, this was the most challenging. I'd have to think about that more. Yeah. In general, most of the challenging experiences that I've had in retrospect, there's not a single one that I can think back on that I don't immensely value and appreciate. And yeah, they're all good. It's all good.
I mean, I totally agree with you. Like in hindsight, it's always usually always a lesson, right? And it moves you a lot of times in the right direction. And do you have some point in your life that you want to share that taught you a great lesson and put you on the right path, so to speak, or this path?
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as specific incidences that have taken place in my life, I'm kind of like trying to scroll through the chapters of moments. I mean, a fascinating moment for me was the first time I decided to buy a motorcycle, and I took it to, the goal was to take it to Patagonia. So I was like 20 years old or something like that. And got a bike. I just got done. We were trimming weed. Yeah. So it was me and, you know, a bunch of friends. We went out and did like the California thing where you go and trim weed and you make a bunch of cash. And then you like, you know, you go and travel to Bali or whatever. And I decided to buy a motorcycle and ride the motorcycle through Mexico, Central America. The goal is to get to Patagonia. I'm inherently kind of lazy, and so I only made it through Central America. But it was like a 7-month trip. It was like 12,000 miles long distance, 19,000 kilometers, wherever that is. And during that time, something that I found that was kind of fascinating. One, I wasn't at that time. I was into like bodybuilding, all these things. I became less attached to like all the supplements and all the things that I was dependent on for like nutritionally and like my exercise and my fitness. And, you know, I kind of, are you familiar with Joseph Campbell, the hero's journey, hero with a thousand faces, any of that stuff? And he says, you need to leave the ordinary world, which is the world that you know, grew up in. We all assume that where we grow up is, that's just like normal. That's just the way everybody is. So that was like the initial, I think probably the initial exodus from my ordinary world of getting to, you know, live on the back of my motorcycle. I carried a hammock around. I would like ask random people if I could stay in their yard, you know, or sometimes I'd stay under bridges and just all sorts of random places. The time I almost got arrested and like thrown in this Mexican jail for actually breaking a basketball hoop with a bunch of kids. It was almost not good, but it ended up being fine. I paid them like $50 and moved on. But yeah, so that was an interesting transitional moment, I think, of like stepping out of my ordinary world and realizing that I don't need to be so attached to all of my supplements and all of my exercises, and also just realizing that the world is inherently kind. Yeah. I think Americans especially are guilty of this, but you know, probably lots of other just people in Western culture are kind of fearful of suspicious people with like less. But in typically what I've found in my travels around the globe is oftentimes the people that have the least actually are the most generous. Right. And the people with the most, there's like this reciprocal relationship where they start to almost have, well, not almost, they completely, well, they feel as though they have more to guard, more materials to guard. So they actually become kind of more like greedy, selfish bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of, that was some form of transition, I think.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But I mean, Aaron, I think you're onto something, because traveling opens up so many doors for us as human beings. And that's why I encourage everybody to see the world and step out of your backyard, right? To kind of explore more. So let's explore. You did this amazing trip. Let's explore your backyard. Where did you grow up, and like, what are your memories?
Amish country, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Dad got into, had like an interesting childhood where, you know, grew up playing soccer and being a Power Ranger in the backyard and all that stuff. And my dad was like the president of the Nature Conservancy, and like very like seemingly kind of like typical suburban lifestyle. But then meanwhile, underneath that, my dad was started getting addicted to various different types of drugs and such. And he started smoking crack and started pimping women and all sorts of weird shit ended up happening. And he ended up going to prison. So I was like,
how old were you at that point?
Like 16 or 17 or so. When we started becoming like a full-fledged crackhead, I was probably around like 16 or so. And, that was fascinating. Again, like looking back, that was the coolest thing that could have ever happened to me. Like I got to learn so much from that. I got to learn empathy and got to learn, just to not take life for granted. And now my dad's like kind of taking this turn where now he just loves Jesus and he's all about, you know, that's just Jesus' best friend, which is great. I'm like agnostic, I think would probably be the term. But anything that makes somebody happy, I'm pro that.
Yeah.
So now he's like, he's getting a place in Florida and he's like totally turned his life around, which is just fantastic. But yeah, that was the background.
It kind of took like an interesting shift. But how did that affect you at that point when you were 16? And I mean, your dad are going to prison, he's doing all these things. Like how did that make you angry, or like what kind of feelings were you experiencing at that point? How did you deal with those?
I think at the time, it's kind of like you know, when you're inside the jar, you're not able to see that the label on it. You know, so I think at the time I felt probably in large part just like repressive, you know, and just kind of, you know, you just keep going, you know, as whatever's happening in your home, it just becomes normalized, which that's a fascinating thing. I mean, like people, you know, the guards in Auschwitz and concentration camps, like that's their normal life. Yeah. You know, then they go home and they, you know, probably did some terrible things to a bunch of people that day. And they go home and they throw frisbee with their dog and they kiss their wife and they build a fire. And they're like these probably really sweet, generous, kind human beings.
Yeah.
They just are habituated to this new type of life. And they do that. So what makes humans so immensely amazing is our capacity to adapt to almost any situation, including like mass destruction or mass love. Yeah. You know, so in that situation, I think I just kind of adapted and, you numb what you need to numb. And you kind of close off what you need to close off at the time. Yeah. And then, you keep yourself, you just like keep yourself afloat. You know, and then I think that you can kind of come back and do damage control afterwards. And that's kind of, I think, partially what I've been doing for the last while. Yeah. But I don't think that my childhood is any more or less, like, traumatic or anything. My dad was smoking crack. Like, I think it's great. There's, like, I don't think it's a bad thing. Yeah. You know, I think the most traumatic childhoods really are the ones of neglect. You know, it's like the worst thing that can happen is nothing at all. Yeah. Like, that's the worst. I think having some fireworks in your childhood is, like, I got to learn.
Yeah, it seems like you're a very strong guy, not just physically but mentally as well. Were you always like that, or like because it seems like you cope with things in a great way. How do you become that person?
I mean, I don't even think that I'm necessarily especially strong now. Like, I have regular bouts of like existential crisis ease, like every day, like a few times a day, questioning why we're here in the first place and what's the point of anything. And maybe this is a simulation. Maybe this is a Truman Show type thing. Maybe this is...
Is that with or without weed?
Without weed.
Without weed.
Yeah, without weed for sure.
Is it with meditation? Like, how do you get to that space that where you start questioning many things?
Just listen to podcasts, read books, hang out with comedians and people that are, think about ridiculous things.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think you know what's going on, you're confused.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you're very confused.
But, like, I'm struggling with this because the more, like, you start questioning things, like, the harder it gets. Like, is it good to question everything, you think?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It's just as long as you're not spinning in those questions all the time and missing out on the meaningful parts. And the meaningful parts, the parts that seem to veer towards growth, are more in the bucket of, like, love and connection. And I think contribution is a valuable thing to kind of focus yourself around. And I think in the end, or in the beginning or the middle or whatever, I think we're one big interactive organism, you know, like the Gaia model of Earth. You know, it's like we are interacting together right now. Like, we're literally, might sound a little homoerotic, but we're breathing each other in. We're becoming each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's essentially we're having, like, we think like sex is like, oh, penetration. Okay. Yeah. I'm like inside of a person. Yeah. You and I are inside of each other right now. Like, since we stepped into this room and you shut that door, we've been inoculating each other to our bacteria. And we're, we're literally at a cellular level, we're kind of merging with each other.
Yeah.
You know, we're attuning to each other. Our breathing patterns will start to be similar. You know, perhaps even like the dilation of our eyes will start to mirror each other, and our facial patterns will mirror each other. You know, so we're creating these little subtle little like bits of information. We're creating that rapport between each other so that we can see ourselves in the other. If you can see yourself in another person, all of a sudden there's this rapport and this connection and this love. Then you can like sell them a car, or sell them a house in your case.
Yeah.
But if you're not able to create that rapport, that connection with somebody, you'll never be able to sell them a house.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
No, you're right.
Yeah. You know, so we only trust ourselves essentially.
Yeah.
You know, so that's like kind of going into this vast, like, Gaia love Earth model to like sell me a fucking, a Lexus.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is. Like, if you want to sell a Lexus, it would be a value for you to tap into like some, love and deeper consciousness.
Yeah, yeah, no, I totally feel you and agree with you. I'm a little bit curious, like, we have a divorce rate of like 50%+. Uh-huh. Like, what's your opinion about that? Are we meant to live with another person the rest of our lives? Or like, how is this all interaction of love coming into like relationships?
I think that it's such an interesting question of, I think it's fascinating that we are kind of like, the expectation on relationships, I think, is what sabotages relationships. So when you go and get married, like the marriage rate's diminishing greatly as well in the last like 10 years. You know, people are just not getting married. They're not having
in
kids.
In Sweden, people they don't feel like they need to get married. They have kids. They live together.
I don't really understand it. Marriage. When people, like friends of mine, get married, I'm like, really? Like, I'm like really like,
I'm
like
pro, dumbfounded. But I'm like,
I'm not against totally it. I don't think it's bad, but that's always my question. They're like, we're getting married. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like, I don't care. I'm like, I'm not impressed or sad, or I'm very neutral to it. I think it's beautiful that you like love each other and you feel so committed. And when you're around people that really love each other like that, I think it is very beautiful to be around. I think that that actually is like a miracle. And it's wonderful to be around. Yeah. And along with that, when you are saying your vows and you're saying some bullshit like till death do you part, like, you know, that's not true, right? Like, statistically,
statistically,
you have to know that's not true.
Yeah, but
maybe
I think
the moment you believe it.
I think everybody who said, not everybody, but I said most people, I think they do believe in that moment. And I think like I had like Ryan Serhant on my podcast. And he said, like, I want people to change. That's actually a good thing. So, I mean, if you're all in the moment, I think, isn't it okay to change as a human being?
Of course.
Yeah, we don't want to be the, we want to evolve. That's like, that's the.
So if you keep yourself confined by some story from your past self, and now all of a sudden, you know, things change, you've evolved as a human being, and you said some shit when you were a little kid, you know, in front of an altar that you had a priest up there talking some shit, and like, you're like, you were 21 years old and you said some shit.
Yeah.
Now you're 31 and you are a completely different person. Yeah. Could you imagine taking advice from your 21 year old self when you're 31? You'd be like, what the fuck am I thinking? Like, you would never, ever do that. You know, so, but nonetheless, essentially that's what you're doing. You're being confined to a contract that your 21-year-old self made, or whatever age, you know, but like, till death do you part? No, like, it's a lease, you know, like, we'll check in with this.
Yeah.
Maybe say, let's say 6 months, let's see where we're at. You know, like, I think that, like, right now, this is amazing. I couldn't imagine my life with anybody else other than you. Like, this is just, I'm like, I feel like it's perfect.
Yeah.
I never thought I could experience this. Let's check in 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, and see exactly where we're at. Like, maybe I don't want to fall off. You know?
Of course. I mean, it's an ever-growing process. All relationships are, it's just like working out. Like, if you stop doing the things you do for like 6 months, a year, you're not going to be the same person.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's always a work in progress. And then also evolving together. Like, a lot of times people evolve but in different directions, which is totally okay.
Yeah,
but
that's great.
And that's just what happens.
Yeah.
So let's talk about movement. Like, what is movement, and why are you so fascinated with movement?
I think movement, I mean, movement's everything, man. There's nothing that's not in the movement bucket. You know, so as we're sitting here, you know, this is kind of cool that there's glass around here, you know, we can kind of see out of the sun, kind of, sort of, it's reflecting off the building, you know, and so what that's going to do is it'll do a few things. One, being in an environment like this, being able to look out into the distance, it literally calms your nervous system down. You know, so movement, for starters, is the way that you look, not just the directionality of like looking up and down, but also even the depth perception. You know, so as you're looking out into the distance, it allows the muscles around your eyes, are called the ciliary muscles, to relax, because that light doesn't need to be bent or refracted in order for you to be able to perceive it. So when you look out into the distance, everybody knows this, when you look out into the distance, you look out over ocean or mountains, you get this feeling of like, oh, I just want to like relax. You're like, wow, it's amazing. You know, as you're doing that, to compare that, now you're out in the mountains or the ocean. Now pull your cell phone out in front of your face and check a text message. You will not go, ah, right? You all of a sudden, all those ciliary muscles, they contract, shorten up, and you're literally putting yourself into more of a stressed state. You know, so when we're, and it's not bad, stress is great. Stress is what keeps you alive. You know, but if you're chronically in that stressed state, you're chronically in that closed box reality, then you are putting a chronic stressor on your nervous system. You know, so the movement of your eyes, for example, kind of more like an abstract perspective, is a really valuable component to the movement of your physiology. The movement of body language, I think, is really fascinating. You know, so as we're communicating to each other, there's a guy, Albert Mehrabian, that came from like the 60s in Harvard, and he came up with this number, the 55-38-7 rule. And so what they came up with was 55% of our communication is based off of body language, 38% is based off of tonality, and 7% is the words that we're communicating with. And that's if there's incongruence. So if I say a thing to you and my body, you know, say, I really want to be here, I love being here, but you see my hips shifting towards the door or my feet kind of slowly almost like dancing underneath me, trying to get out of here, you're like, I do not believe you. You know, or I'm looking away from you, or I'm nodding my head no as I'm saying something yes with my mouth. You're like, nope, 93% of me absolutely does not believe what you're saying right now.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want to be an effective human being in any capacity, body language, you might not know the language of it. You know, you might not like read books about it per se. But if you are effective in your life with your family, with your business, with, you know, anything that of meaning, then you are a master of body language. And if not, then you could derive great benefit from learning what certain signals mean when we're communicating with each other.
So you had more than 240 amazing conversation with people. Can you just, if you could summarize 240 hours of amazing content and life stories into like two or three things that you have learned from many of those guests, what would you share with us today?
Well, less of what I've learned from other people. The big thing that I've learned is just to humble myself, you know, and not get too arrogant. Or, you know, when I first started doing it, I really wanted to assert myself as being really smart and, you know, let the person that I'm talking to like know how great I am, you know, and all that is just, if it's a sensitive person at all, which most any person that would be on there hopefully would be, you're just showing this card of like, oh, I'm insecure. Yeah. You know, I want to like really go out of my way to show you I'm like really great.
Yeah.
You know, so the beginning years was more about showing other people how great I am, which again, it's coming from just from insecurity. And then in the more recent time frame, it's evolved to really truly being there to open up or create a container or space for this person that I'm sharing time and space with to be able to feel safe and feel like they can kind of explore different parts of themselves that maybe they hadn't yet done, you know, they hadn't yet like actually looked into those different kind of boxes inside of themselves and really making it about the other person. Like that's the big shift that I've found with it is your experience with people about the other people.
Yeah.
Like if you make your experience with other people about the other people, yeah, inherently it does come back to you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to, and that's like with like the Bhagavad Gita and like all like a lot of different religious texts and stuff say, it's like you have that renunciation of attachment to the outcome of your actions. That's like a key to joy, a key to wellness and spiritual goodness or whatever. You know, so if you can do shit for people without the expectation of them doing something back, you just do it because you actually truly derive joy from the process of supporting and helping. Like, you know, hunter-gatherer tribes, like the difference between their work day and like a modern work day is like a modern work day is a lot more toil, you could say. Like we're just like laboring over bullshit and just like, oh God, I gotta get through these emails. You're just sitting there inside your house, like hopped up on caffeine and, you know, artificial blue lights and, you know, air conditioned air and just staring at the screen and you got 4 more hours. Yeah. Like that's work, toil work. You know, there's another level of work where it's like, no, I'm playing, dude. This is great. You know, we're problem solving and I'm like, oh, cool. We got to, it's a storm's coming. We got to prepare for it. Oh, all right. How are we going to do that? Yeah. You know, like that's what humans thrive on.
Kind of taps into, I'm reading a book now called Mindset. I don't know if you read it, but they're talking about like fixed mindset and
growth mindset.
Yeah. And it kind of taps in a little bit to that, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's in the end, that's the thing that's going to make the biggest difference is what's your mindset. If you can come into enjoying the journey, like truly, then you've hacked it. If you're focusing on the outcome, then you will be separate from the present experience and you will feel like in a place of wanting something that you don't have. And as long as you're in that place, it's uncomfortable to be around. And then you'll push people away because people want to be around people that are full.
Yeah.
You know, so the way that you get full, I think, isn't from waiting for other people to acknowledge you or waiting to arrive at that location. I think the way that you get full is fucking forget about the location.
Yeah. No, I was just, when you're saying this, I'm just thinking about like how, like a tip, what I have learned to be more present is to do hard shit. So I was just thinking about a video that I saw on you on Instagram where you're at Muscle Beach in Santa Monica and you're lifting up this woman that is amazing. And yeah. I think at that moment, you have to be fucking present, right?
Yeah.
And that's like kind of, we need more, you don't, maybe people that are listening don't have to do exactly that, but when you do hard shit, you're more present, right?
Yeah, for sure. But it could be anything. I mean, hard shit could be, you know, figuring out, oh, my child's crying. You know, I want to understand, like, how do I, what's the code here? I know they want something. You know, like, how do I do this? Or the hard shit could be any, just people like problem solving. And we like to be outside. And we like to get sun. And we like to get dirty. And we like to be in community. And we like to eat organic, good, real food. Like, all the stuff that's really is, like, the baseline of your happiness and joy and success. It's all really, at least, you know, affordable.
Yeah.
And in most cases, completely free. You know, like we want to go out and, you know, if you, there's like an obligation, not with me so much. It's usually my obligation with taking like a person out for a date or something is like, let's go to the beach. Let's go for a motorcycle ride in the mountains. Let's make a picnic somewhere, like overseeing some, you know, we live near the ocean. So it'd be like overseeing some cliff edge or something like that, overseeing the ocean. Like that's good shit.
Yeah.
It's totally free. Right. You know, it's like, but instead we're like, okay, I got to put some bullshit cologne stuff that's filled up with some kind of phthalates or whatever stuff that throws off my whole hormonal function and, you know, throws off also the potential female or male or whatever from actually breathing me, you know, which is I'm producing these pheromones and all these different smells that actually indicates to you whether I'm a decent sexual partner. You know, like in the end, we're a bunch of bacterial animals, you know, and if you don't smell right to me, I can learn more from that than any resume that you could ever produce. Like we're animals first, you know, and so we're putting all these costumes on trying to cover up our animal part, you know, and then we go do that dance. Then we go out and we go to some fancy restaurant and they're probably trying to like get rid of some of the old food that's been sitting out in the fridge for a while. So it's on special. Yeah. You know, really cool. Take the duck that's like going old.
Yeah.
You know, and you sit in this hunched over position and these artificial lights and it's loud and noisy. And then we got to get a bunch of alcohol because I feel socially uncomfortable in this situation because it's inherently like not that human. Yeah. It'd be way more human to like go for a walk.
Yeah. No, so, but it's true. Like, I'm just thinking about this. Like, dating is basically about not for all, but for a lot of people to sell a fake version of yourself until you can be real.
Yeah, right.
Awesome.
That went longer than I was anticipating, but that's the nature of almost all of my responses. So
no, I love your responses. You really want to share. If you have another thing, feel free to share it.
Well, I mean, I think just live boldly. You know, like be daring enough to be vulnerable and share your heart and say the things that you're thinking or feeling, and you know, just don't live in fear. You know, like that's the biggest thing. Like so many of us, we live in fear, and we tell ourselves that, oh, you know, I'll do that next year or next month. It's like, there's no fucking next year. Like you might I ride a motorcycle. Like very likely I'll die on the way home. Not very likely, but it's like there's a chance.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe one in, I don't know, what, 10,000 or something like that. Like, I don't know, but it's a chance. Like if there was 10,000 marbles, one of them was black, the rest of them green. You reach your hand into the thing every time. It's called Gompertz Law is actually a
Gompertz?
Gompertz Law is a term for that. So when you're like 30, I think it's, I'm going to mess this up. When you're like 30 years old, you have like each year you have like a 1 in 1750 chance or something like that of dying. And then every 7 years it like gets cut in half until eventually after, you know, you're like 100, you're like, dude, you're going to die. You're like, if you don't die, it'd be crazy. So you reach your hand into that bucket every year, you know, and there's 1750 marbles in there. And there's a good chance one of them's going to be black. You know, so like, fuck next year. Like, do it now or shut up.
I love that. Yeah. Fuck next year. Do it now or shut up. Aaron Alexander, thank you so much for doing this with me. Yeah, super grateful. We're going to share your website, your Instagram account, and the 5-day challenge, right? So they can take that. That would be awesome. And I want to thank everybody who listened and watched this episode. I certainly learned a lot, and I hope you did as well. And implement some of these things. Try it. Live more bold, just like Aaron says here. And as I told you before, I'm on a big mission to help at least 10 million people. I can't do it myself. That's why I meet with people like Aaron. And that's why I want you to be able to help me create this tribe. So if you enjoy this episode, share it with someone that you think can enjoy it. And also give us a review so more people can find us. If you want more amazing conversations, we have almost 150 now. Check out ilovesuccess.co. Once again, thank you and have a great day.